Good evening, everyone. And in case there are those in this audience who have not heard my expression of thanks and appreciation, and maybe those in the radio audience as well, who prayed for J. Eddie Schwartz a little over a year ago when he was at the point of death with hemorrhagic pancreatitis, I want to thank you for your prayers. It is good to be paroled from the hospital. It's good to be on the outside. It's good to be back in the Bahamas and here at Spanish Wells at the Gospel Chapel. I would have you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. My, what lovely music we've heard tonight. Songs about our Lord Jesus Christ, about His love for us that moved Him to give Himself willingly as a sacrifice at Calvary, where He was hanged upon a tree between two thieves, numbered with the transgressors, where He shed His precious blood, paying an infinite price to accomplish eternal redemption for you and for me. Thank you so very much, choir, for this music, and all of you musicians, thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." As you look at these two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, looking down at verse 2 particularly, to that expression, "Behold, now is the accepted time," possibly your Bible gives a marginal reference, as does my Cambridge Bible. There's a marginal reference, the accepted time, and the marginal reference gives Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Let me give you a little background of that. When you go to Luke chapter 4, you will read of the Lord Jesus Christ after His wilderness experience, going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was His custom, going to the synagogue there in Nazareth, and He gave indication that He wanted to read. And so the keeper of the scrolls gave to Him a portion of the Old Testament scriptures. And the Lord Jesus read from Isaiah chapter 61. He read verse 1 and part of verse 2. I want you to make a note of that. When you go back to Isaiah chapter 61, you will read in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Verse 2 says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And you will see when you go to Luke chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus took that scroll and began reading, He read verse 1 and part of verse 2. He read, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," and He closed the book or the scroll. He didn't finish verse 2. And He went on to say, "Today these things are fulfilled in your ears." So what is my point here as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, where the Apostle Paul said, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's very interesting. When the Lord Jesus read part of verse 2 of Isaiah 61, saying that he had come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he closed the book. Didn't finish the sentence. Had he finished the sentence, he would have said, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. But you see, that's not yet. When he closed the book and said, today these things are fulfilled in your ears, it indicates to us what we find elsewhere in the teaching of the Word of God, that the day in which we live is known as the church age. It is known as the acceptable year of the Lord. It is this time period in which God allows and purposes the gospel message of our Lord Jesus Christ to go out, during which time he is gathering all of those who will take him at his word, who will believe the testimony that he has given concerning his Son, all of those who will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior, believing that he died on Calvary to accomplish eternal redemption for us. We're living in this time span known as the church age, or as the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, when all believers are raptured from this earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, we see from the Revelation, don't put an S on it, the Revelation chapter 5, that the cry will go out, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? There is only one who is worthy. And to him all judgment has been committed. And let me say reverently, he is going to open the book and finish the sentence. It will be the day of vengeance of our God. And there will be great tribulation upon this earth. I am thankful the church will not go into the tribulation. So we are living between Daniel's 69th week and the 70th week in that prophetic calendar. We are living in the church age. We are living at a time when the gospel message goes out, whosoever will may come. And all who trust Christ as Savior are saved. So behold, now is the accepted time. And you in this audience and others listening by way of radio perhaps have had the gospel message presented to you many, many times. And you've had different ones, maybe family members as well as preachers like myself, to plead with you to trust Christ as Savior. Take God at His word. Believe what He says. And avail yourself of this great plan of redemption that God has accomplished in and through Christ who died at Calvary. We have pleaded with you to be saved. Why should you be so concerned about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ now? Paul said, behold, now is the day of salvation. Why should you be so concerned about coming to Christ now? Well, I'm going to give you several reasons why. Number one, you should come to Christ now while you have the opportunity because of impending death, after which is inescapable judgment. Time passes so quickly, doesn't it? You've heard me say, maybe in the course of other messages, that I remember back in my hometown of Richmond, Virginia, I'm in my 70s now, but I can remember going to Springfield Elementary School my first day, 6 years old. I can remember that. It's in my mind. I see it. I walked into that elementary school, walked down the long hallway to the last room on the left, And I went in and I looked up at my first teacher, Mrs. Fowler. I'm in school. And before you know it, I was reading. See, Dick, run. Run, Dick, run. Run, run, run. See, Jane, run. See, Spot, jump. See, Puff, jump. Spot was the dog. Puff was the cat. 6 years old. My, my. I have that in my mind. Time passes so quickly. Oh, the brevity of life. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon shall I find in traveling on, time gone. And face eternity begun, time done. Why should you come to Christ tonight? Because of impending death. Life is so short, and life is so fragile. The psalmist said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Life is but a tale. We spend our years as a tale that is told. When you read your English translation of the Bible, you will see some words in italics. That indicates that those words were not in the original text. They were supplied for continuity. And so, when you read your Bible, you will see we spend our years as a tale, and then the following words, that is told, are in italics, indicating they were not in the original. We spend our years as a tale. A tale has the thought or the idea of a single thought. A tale is a story. But the Hebrew word indicates a short story. A tale has the idea of a single thought, and a thought is often used as a symbol of speed. There is nothing as swift as a thought. It takes a ray of light coming from the nearest star to this earth, traveling at a rate of 186,324 miles per second. It takes 6.25 years to reach us. Light from the nearest star. In quicker time, our thoughts can go from earth to heaven. Just like that. Life is but a tale. Just a thought. Also, life is but a pilgrimage. We are strangers before thee, and sojourners. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15. Life is just a short journey. Life is but a handbreadth. The psalmist said, Psalm 39, 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Contrasted to eternity, the span of our life is just the width of the hand, just a handbreadth. Life is but a vapor. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:14. For those of you who come to the States in the wintertime, at least in the northern states in the wintertime, and you blow your breath, you can see the vapor. Just for a second, and it's gone. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is so short. And then you face eternity. And where are you going to go in eternity? I remember some years ago in Burlington, North Carolina, one of the elders at the meeting there, Ireland Street Chapel, and I visited a man. He and his wife had been coming to the meetings for a while. Mr. Yoder was his name. And so we went to visit Mr. Yoder, And in our conversation, he said to me, he said, you know, I've really been concerned about things I've been hearing in the preaching at the chapel. And so we talked about it, and he indicated that he was very interested in all of this. I said, Mr. Yoder, are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And he said, well, no, I can't say that I'm saved the way you and others at the chapel speak of it. I can't say that. He said, but I think I need to be saved. I said, that's wonderful. I said, when do you think you should get saved? He said, I should get saved soon. I said, you're right. I said, Mr. Yoder, why don't you do this? Why don't you get saved 6 months from today? Well, he answered me in a way that no one has ever answered me. He said, all right. I looked at him. I said, now, wait a minute. Now, you're going to be here 6 months from now, aren't you? Oh, he said, I don't know that. I said, yes, that's a problem, isn't it? You might not be here 6 months from now. I said, I tell you what, maybe you should make it 3 months. Why don't you get saved 3 months from now? He didn't answer this time. He looked at me, thought a little bit. He said, well, I don't know that I'm going to be here 3 months from now. I said, that's right. That's a problem, isn't it? I tell you what, Mr. Yoder, why don't you get saved tomorrow? He smiled. He said, I don't know that I'm going to be here tomorrow. I said, well, when do you think you should get saved? He said, I'd better get saved today. And you know, it was genuine. He proved that for many years. It was genuine. He trusted Christ as Savior. You should trust Christ as your Savior because of impending death, after which is inescapable judgment. Some of you here at the Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel might remember meeting some people up at the Skyland Bible Conference. You know Mr. and Mrs. Claiborne Barefoot. This would be Claiborne Barefoot's sister and her husband, Wells and Dawn Wilder. The Wilders are in commodities. They live in the States as well as in New Zealand. They had working for them a young woman. She's now with the Lord. Her name was Carol Lawson. She was saved. She was in the fellowship. Her husband was not. Ken is his name. And Ken came to me after one of the services when I preached the gospel. He wanted to talk with me. We went to the office. We sat there and had a long conversation. And so I could see that he was troubled about his soul. And so as I talked to him, I said, now, Ken, I said, I would like to put three questions to you. He said, okay. Number one, do you know how to be saved? He said, I think I do. Well, we went into some scriptures, and I tried to make it clear to him that it's a matter of receiving Christ. I said, now, you and Carol are married. When you received Carol, you became a husband. You were not married until you received a wife. You understand that, yes? All right. When you receive Christ, you become a Christian. When you receive the Savior, you become saved. You understand that? Yes, he said, I do. All right. Question number one, do you know how to be saved? He said, yes, I think I do. Question number two, do you want to be saved? He said, yes, I do. Question number three, when do you want to be saved? Friends, let me tell you. He looked up at the ceiling, he looked at the wall, he looked out the window, he looked back at me, and he did this several times. And then he looked at me, he said, now that's the question, isn't it? When do I want to be saved? I said, that is the question. When do you want to be saved? He said, well, I think it should be soon. I said, all right, Ken. You don't want to call upon Christ now? You don't want to do business with Christ and receive Him as your Savior? Well, he said, let me think about it. I said, okay. You take whatever time you think you have. And he looked at me. I said, but I want to leave you with this thought. And I took him to John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him, Christ, is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. And I gave him that illustration of a burning building. Here's a person poised in maybe the fourth story window. The firemen are below with a big net calling to the person to jump, but the person is afraid of height. They are also afraid of fire. But they have to make a decision. I said, now, Ken, that person is already in one of the decisions while they're thinking about it. So I just want to make it clear to you, you take all the time that you think you have, but while you're thinking about it, you're already in one of the decisions. You're already condemned. Well, the rest of the story is that some weeks later, I received a letter from him from Hong Kong, of all places, traveling with the Wilders in this commodities program, telling me that he had gotten saved. My friend, why should you receive Christ tonight? Because of impending death, after which is inescapable judgment. Why should you receive Christ tonight? Because of the imminent return of Christ. We heard about that earlier. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back when this church age, when this acceptable time is finished, and call up all believers to be with himself, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I believe that those who have heard the gospel message during this time period, when the rapture takes place and you go into the tribulation period, I believe the Word of God teaches you will not have opportunity to be saved. Now, I know in some of the books and movies on Left Behind, Tim LaHaye and others indicated that from what they printed and showed in the film, that they believe that people will have a second chance in the tribulation. If God chooses to give people a second chance in the tribulation, that's fine with me. Amen. Praise be to His name. But the Apostle John says, if we believe not the record that God has given of His Son, we make God a liar. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read, God is going to send unsaved people a strong delusion. He's going to make them believe a lie that they might be damned who believe not the truth. I'm inclined to believe there will be no second chance in the tribulation. So why should you receive Christ tonight? Because of impending death, after which is inescapable judgment, and because of the imminent return of Christ. We don't know when our Lord Jesus Christ will come in the rapture. We believe it's imminent. Now, this does not imply that we believe or we think that He must come today, this week, or this month. He may. The thing to do is to be ready. Why should you receive Christ tonight? Because of immediate joy. As sin is the original source of guilt and fear, so God is the original source of man's joy and happiness. And we sometimes sing, life begins when Jesus comes in, and He gives joy in the soul. God created man in His image after His likeness, and man was fashioned to thrive in the love and fellowship of his Maker. But that was lost because of the fall. Mankind became separated from God because of original sin. But God has done something on our behalf whereby we can be saved. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have God's salvation, we have the forgiveness of sins, we are at peace with God, we have security in Christ, we have freedom in the Savior. And we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. You should receive Christ tonight because of immediate joy. And you should receive Christ tonight because of increasing hardness. My friend, do you realize that every time you are confronted with God's truth and you don't respond to it, you are increasingly becoming hardened to God's truth. And you're opening yourself up increasingly to error. That's solemn. You should come to Christ because of increasing hardness. There's a difference between conviction and conversion. Felix trembled when he listened to Paul concerning faith in Christ, Acts chapter 24. He trembled because of conviction, but we don't read of conversion. And there was a time when your heart was tender. There was a sensitivity. There were times you were under conviction. And you realized to whatever degree you needed Christ. And here you are. You've managed to go out of meetings. You've managed to go through the day one after another without trusting Christ. And here you are. Increasingly becoming hardened to the truth. Harry Truman lived at Spirit Lake on Mount St. Helens. This is not the Harry Truman who was president. This is another Harry Truman. He lived at Spirit Lake on Mount St. Helens. And maybe you remember, as I remember, seeing him on television when he was told to get away from his house and away from that mountain. March the 20th, 1980, Mount St. Helens began rumbling. March 27th, the mountain opened and began bubbling. People came from all over the world to see it. The sleeping beauty of a volcano was waking up. From April to May, the bulge was a half a mile wide. And then a mile long. People left the area, but not Harry Truman. And I said, I can remember the news reporter talking to him. I remember him saying he had a number of dogs and cats, I believe, but he lived there in that cabin on side of the mountain. He said, nothing will happen. Everything will be all right. We've heard this so many times, he said. Everything will be all right. On May the 18th, 1980, at 8:32 a.m., it happened. The explosion force was 27,000 times greater than the atom bomb. The mud flow was 300 feet. The rivers were at 100 degrees. 540 million tons of ash were belched into the sky. 57 people died, and Harry Truman, house and all, buried deep in the mud. He said, it's not going to happen. I've heard this all so many times. And you know, some here on this island and in the Bahamas and elsewhere, back in the States. They say, oh, yeah, I know, you preachers keep preaching all of this. No, the things continue as they always have continued. My friend, you'd better trust Christ as your Savior because of impending death, because of the imminent return of Christ, because of immediate joy, because of increasing hardness. I remember when we moved from Memphis to Greensboro in 69. One of the elders there in Greensboro, Mr. Pete Alley, and I went visiting. First day visiting after moving there. And one of the first persons that we visited was a man who never came to the Shannon Hills Chapel as far as I know. His wife was in fellowship. We visited him. And I remember going to a back room, sitting around the stove there, talking to Mr. Martin. And I said, Mr. Martin, are you saved? He looked at me. He said, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not, in a rather sharp tone. I said, well, Mr. Martin, if you're not saved, you face the danger of going to hell, to be separated from God forever. He said, young man, that was some years ago now. He said, young man, if I go to hell, that's my business. He said, I'm not hurting anyone. If I want to go to hell, that's my business. I said, Mr. Martin, it is. I didn't come to your home to insult you, sir. I came to share with you the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are determined to go to hell, that's your business. And without Christ, that's exactly where you're going to go. But don't think you're going to go there and not affect other people. He has stressed that point. I said, don't you think you're going to go, don't think you're going to live as long as you have lived, and he was in his 70s at that time. Don't think you're going to live as long as you have lived with that attitude and determined to go to hell and not affect other people. I said, Mr. Martin, it could very well be, sir, that one of the greatest torments for you in hell will be to see others there whom you influence to be there. Sometime later, I preached a graveside service for him. His wife wanted to believe that he made some profession. But I thought, what a way to go out into eternity. You should receive Christ as your Savior because of the influence on others. This is what a mother wrote. Listen carefully. A careful woman I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I dare not go astray, for fear he'll go the selfsame way. Not once can I escape his eyes, whate'er he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be, that little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me, he must not see, that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, that little chap who follows me. Someone else wrote, the slightest breeze that ever blew, some slender grass has wavered. The smallest life I ever knew, some other life has flavored. We cannot live our lives alone, for other lives we touch are either strengthened by our own or weakened just as much. Why should you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Because of impending death, after which is inescapable judgment. Because of the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of immediate joy, because of the danger of increasing hardness, and because of the influence you're giving to others. Today is the day of salvation. Will you receive Christ as your Savior? Let's turn to our songbooks, to number 250. Number 250, and as we're turning here, let me say to those in the radio audience, you know what a joy and encouragement it would be for the Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel to receive just a note from you telling what the broadcast means to you. And maybe some in the audience or the radio audience have trusted Christ. Well, the people here would certainly like to know that so they can rejoice with you. And for those of you here in this audience, if we can be of any help to you tonight, and others stand ready to be of help, for you to settle this matter of being saved today while you have opportunity, let's just sing one stanza of 250. Let's stand as we sing just the one stanza in the chorus, then I'll close in prayer. And we're dismissed.